everyone. I am Emily Landers, and this is How'd She Do That? A podcast answering that question each episode. I hope you all had a great Valentine's Day weekend. We had a blast with our giveaway from our Friday bonus episode with Caitlin O'Neill, the founder of Honey by Kate. You guys are going to want to stay tuned for more Friday giveaways. We are really enjoying doing those, and I hope you guys are having fun with them too. Well, can you believe that I am actually snowed in and recording this from Dallas, Texas? I was supposed to be back in LA with Luke on Sunday, but flights were canceled, so I'll hopefully be back this afternoon, Tuesday, with my Valentine. We have been enjoying reminiscing on Valentine's Day in 2020 when we were actually at the Brando Resort, pretty much the opposite of this year's weather and Valentine's Day, but you guys can check out some of those fun photos on Instagram. Well, again, I hope you stayed warm wherever you are listening from. I am so happy that you're joining me today for this conversation with one of Wheezy Towel's founders, Liz Eicholtz. I was introduced to Wheezy after welcoming Elizabeth Ferris onto the podcast for episode 21. And since being introduced to them, I am seeing them everywhere. Their products are amazing, and I can't wait for you to hear about the beginning stages of all things Wheezy. Liz brings so much wisdom and encouragement in today's episode. I think you'll really enjoy it. This is likely an episode you're going to want to send to a friend. And there might be some moments where you're going to want to pause and rewind and re-listen to some of this wisdom. Again, Liz, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Here is Liz Eicholtz on How'd She Do That? Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of How'd She Do That? I am so excited to introduce this wonderful guest. Today, we welcome Liz Eicholtz to How'd She Do That? Liz is the founder of Wheezy Towels, which is a company committed to making towels and robes worth celebrating. Newly married, recently moved, and on the hunt for fresh towels, Liz immediately sensed a gap in the market after an overwhelming and lackluster purchase experience. She approached her longtime friend and co-founder, Lindsay, with the idea for the perfect go-to towel brand. The dynamic duo hit the ground running to modernize luxury and introduce the world to Wheezy. Wheezy is a modern nickname for the more traditional name, Louise. Think of Wheezy as the new age hostess, thoughtful but laid back at the same time. She is your friend whose door and wine fridge is always open. When Liz isn't working hard to ensure orders are filled, running her business, and speaking with women like myself, she is likely relaxing at home with her family, which includes her husband and two daughters in Savannah, Georgia. Liz, welcome to How'd She Do That?
Hi, Emily. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I am so happy to have you. And is it true you're recording in Savannah?
I am. I'm here in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we are doing a little coast-to-coast recording today. And I told you this before we started recording, but I have been giving a little hints that I'm having one of the co-founders of Wheezy on the podcast, and people are losing it. They're so excited about this episode.
That is so sweet. Thank you.
Well, I love to hear that. Yes, it's so much fun. And I am just so excited to share your story. Quick side note, I could not be more in love with the name Wheezy. That would be a little nod to my grandmother, who is Louise, but goes by Wheezy.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Yes. I mean, naming a company is a journey in itself. We went through so many names before we ended on Wheezy. But I had an Aunt Eloise, or I have an Aunt Eloise, who goes by Wheezy as well.
Oh, and my gosh.
Yeah. And my co-founder had a grandma, Louise. So it was a family name all around.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's so fun. And just a little insight into one of the cutest names that I've heard for a business. But again, I am so happy to have you. And I really just love to dive in. I want my listeners to get to know you and get to know your story because I know it's an inspiring one. And I really love to start at the beginning. So I'd love to dive in and just hear more about your early days. And I'm talking, let's go back to school. Where did you go to school and what did you major in?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm originally from Austin, Texas, but I went to the University of Georgia in Athens, which is the dreamiest city ever. And I started out as a journalism major. I was always super fascinated with magazines and thought I wanted to be in the magazine world. And as I dove into the major, I realized I really wanted to be on the art side of things. So I switched to the art school and became a graphic design major.
Oh, wow. What year was that that you decided to switch majors? I know that's always a little challenging depending on what year it is.
Yeah, let's see. I started in 2007 and I realized it pretty quickly. So I would say in 2008, 2009, I switched. And then because of the switch, I had to do a fifth year and graduated in 2012.
Oh, nice. Okay. And then what did that look like, that season of life? I mean, you're stepping into graphic design. What was the ultimate hope with that major? What did you think you would be doing?
I thought I would either do something in magazines or be on an in-house creative team or go into branding. So I knew I wanted to move to New York. That was always my dream from before I can remember. I was headed to New York after college, and my parents kind of gave me a month to get my feet underneath me and just let me go interview anywhere and everywhere. And I ended up on an in-house creative team at an e-commerce company called Uncommon Goods.
Oh my goodness. Okay. And I'm familiar with Uncommon Goods, and good grief. So is this right after graduating that you moved to New York?
Yep. I went straight from Athens to New York and landed the job within 2 weeks. And I can't say enough great things about Uncommon Goods. It was the best first job out of college.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool. I mean, many of my listeners, we've got folks all over the spectrum, age and location, but many of my listeners, they are these young women who are kind of thinking about, gosh, what could I do after graduating? What does this look like? And it's fun to hear, Liz, because you and I both graduated and headed to NYC. I love that.
Oh, nice.
So then you are living, gosh, in New York City. And where did you live? I love to kind of get the location down for people who are New York lovers.
Yeah, I lived all over the city. Let's see. I started in Chelsea, then moved to the East Village, and then had a few different apartments in the East Village. But I always worked in Brooklyn.
Oh my gosh. Okay. How fun is that? Yeah. So what was your... Yes. It's just the most fun place to be when you're young and you can run around and just do all of it. What was your favorite thing about, gosh, not only that job, perhaps what was your favorite thing about that job and that role, but what was your main takeaway from that season?
Yeah. So I think my favorite part about my job at Uncommon Goods was just that I worked on so many different things. And it's one of those things I didn't realize at the time, but so much of it actually prepared me for Wheezy, because it was also an e-commerce company. So I worked on, you know, their catalog. I worked on signage in the warehouse. I worked on photo shoots and marketing emails and the website and packaging and kind of, you know, anything required of a creative at an e-commerce company. So it just prepared me a ton for Wheezy. And it almost felt like a little stint in grad school because I did a little bit of everything. Yeah. So, I mean, I can't say enough great things about the creative director I worked under and the team there. I just left having learned a ton. And I was poached from Uncommon Goods. I was there about 3 years to go be the first creative director at Bustle.com.
Oh my goodness. Okay. That is so fun. It's so fun to think about you really living, gosh, in New York and stepping into all of these different roles. I want to piggyback. You just said something that I haven't heard before, and I haven't actually like put this together, but I love what you just said about it felt like a little bit of graduate school, real life graduate school. That is so cool to think about. And I've never heard it said so well, that stepping into a role where you were doing so many different things, and of course, hindsight, looking back, you're like, wow, this really prepared me for Wheezy. But gosh, if there's someone listening who's kind of thinking about, is grad school next for me, or maybe a real job, maybe I can't afford grad school right now, whatever that kind of dynamic looks like, think of Liz. Think of what Liz just shared of, hey, you can get a job and you can, like I'm sure Liz was, busting it out, you know, working hard and really learning so much. And then, gosh, being poached to your next role. So how long were you doing both of these jobs? What's the time frame here?
So I'm so bad at remembering timelines, but I think I was at Uncommon Goods about 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And then I left to go work at Bustle.com. So I wasn't necessarily at both.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. And then, so Bustle was a completely different experience because it was a startup. I was the first designer, the first creative director. And when I joined, it was about 15 people in a brownstone in Brooklyn, just typical startup. And then when I left, it was over 200 people in a high rise in Manhattan.
Wow.
So that was also a crazy experience, just for a completely different reason, just experienced crazy growth of a startup and building a team from scratch. And yeah, that also prepared me for Wheezy in a lot of different ways, just kind of dealing with pure chaos.
It sounds like it, to go from those numbers to ultimately leaving with, gosh, from 15 to 200, you really saw quite a bit of growth. I'm curious, what's going on in your personal life at this time? Because you're young, you're in the city, I'm sure you're enjoying life. What does your personal life look like at this time?
So I met my now husband in college, and he actually was all set to move to Atlanta, Georgia, and was a year above me. And I was like, just to let you know, no chance I'm moving to Atlanta. I know I'm headed to work. So he ultimately applied for a transfer and got it. So we were both in New York. It was the most fun time.
Oh.
And I think at this point we might have been engaged. I know towards the end of Bustle we were engaged, which ultimately is what led us to Savannah. So he is from Savannah, Georgia, and was coming home to join his family business. And it was something that we talked about a ton. I definitely left New York kicking and screaming. I loved it. And I felt like I could have stayed for a lot longer. But you know, graphic design and being a creative director is one of those things that you do have more flexibility because you can kind of do it anywhere. Every city needs it. A lot of different industries need it. Whereas his job was so location specific. And we knew that we didn't want to raise kids in New York. We're both from the South. So
right.
It was the right decision for our family, but I certainly left kicking and screaming.
As one does when they feel like they're leaving too soon. My experience was the same. I definitely left kicking and screaming, but now, oh my gosh, and you might feel the same way. If someone told me that I had to move back to New York, I think I would go kicking and screaming.
I know, exactly. I actually commuted for 2 years from Savannah to New York. And they're such different cities that I felt like every time I got off in the plane in New York, I was like, this is so crazy. This is pure chaos.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm so curious because, gosh, yeah, you're leaving Bustle, and I'm sure that experience was so exciting. What were your thoughts moving to Savannah in regards to your career? Are you thinking more about motherhood and what that could look like? How were you feeling at that time?
So I think at the time, you know, like I said, it was something my now husband and I talked about a lot and weighed so many pros and cons, and I knew it made sense for our family. But from a career standpoint at the time, I think it did feel kind of devastating. I just was on like a certain career trajectory in New York. You know, I rose pretty quickly. I was a really young creative director, and I think I just had this image of my career in my head. And it was modeled off of such specific careers I saw in New York.
Wow.
Yeah. But I mean, looking back, I think it was a big lesson, and obviously hindsight is 20/20, and just like trusting in the process and kind of letting unexpected things happen in your life, because Savannah ultimately ended up being a huge advantage for us when we started Wheezy. because it's a port city, we were able to import our towels directly from Portugal to Savannah. And then we got warehouse space here, which was wildly cheaper than it ever would have been in New York or Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And we didn't take outside funding. So being able to cut corners like that was huge for us.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, let's get into it. I'm so excited. I want to hear about all things Wheezy. So tell us about kind of the first steps towards Wheezy. It sounds like there was a moment that you're looking at perhaps a purchase or something. You're just like, what this is, we can do better. So Tell us a little bit about maybe the memory of that day and gosh, the beginning stages of what is now Wheezy.
Okay. Yes, I would love to. So it was all inspired by my experience actually picking out towels for my wedding registry. So I, living in New York, I kind of had gathered this like hodgepodge of towels, whether they be hand-me-downs or a towel that I borrowed from a roommate or random towels from Target or Bed Bath & Beyond, just kind of like a random assortment. So I was excited to kind of go finally invest in quote adult towels, especially because someone else would be buying them. So I was ready to really pick out high quality towels and really invest in them. And I went to do so and I was just spending way more time than I ever wanted to researching towels. I was confused about all the different qualities. I was confused why one was more expensive than the other when they were seemingly the same towel. There was so much jargon being thrown around. I ultimately got a blind recommendation from my mom.
Oh.
Went to get them embroidered and the whole process was offline and just felt really archaic. So Long story short, it was just lacking in joy from beginning to end. And I did have this moment where I thought, there has to be a better way. So enter Lindsay, my co-founder. Yes. We originally met in college. She is from Atlanta and I went to the University of Georgia. So we had a mutual best friend. And then we both moved to New York after college where we became even better friends. And It was really about serendipitous timing. She had just started at Columbia Business School and she was thinking about going into venture capital in the consumer space. And at some point, we kind of started talking about this towel conundrum. And it was just one of those conversations that snowballed until it kind of became an idea we couldn't ignore. And I think the more we researched and just started talking to people, it became this like glaring hole to us in the market. Mm-hmm. And it just became this idea that we couldn't ignore. So we worked on it about a year and a half before launching. So this is while she was a full-time student, I was still working full-time. So it was a lot of late nights and early mornings and weekend work. And it just makes me tired even thinking about it. but yeah, that's kind of the genesis.
Oh my gosh. Now what year is this? What year are we kind of, maybe what year did you guys launch?
We launched in 2018.
Okay. Wow.
We're about 2 years old in October. So we worked on it a little over a year before launch.
Wow. Okay. I love, love, love this story. And we're going to continue to dive into it. But just thinking about you both and thinking, Liz, it's 2020 when we're recording this. This thing is 2 years old. Wheezy is a 2 year old. I feel like there's so much more to come for Wheezy, but I am so excited to hear a little bit more about, okay, wow. So you realize you're onto something. You guys are kind of probably looking at each other and you're thinking, hold on a second, we might be onto something. What did the first stage of starting this business look like in regard to the actual product? Where did you even begin?
So honestly, the first thing we did was just start looking for manufacturers. Something I haven't mentioned is that while I was at Uncommon Goods, or maybe it was Bustle, the timeline is a little cloudy in my head, I launched a little side hustle.
Nice.
Silk sleep masks. It was called Tempe Row, and I was obsessed with silk sleep masks. The brand I used stopped selling them, so I said, okay, I'm going to go make them myself.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
And New York was the perfect place to be living while I did that because I just kind of like stumbled through finding the materials and someone to make them. And it didn't make any money, but it was the most fun, and it was kind of like dipping my toes into this whole process. So then the second time around, I was a lot less intimidated by kind of like getting started in that way.
Right.
So we dug in just looking for manufacturers. And it's one of those things that the more people you meet with and talk with, the more you learn. While we were meeting with manufacturers, we were kind of just ordering every towel under the sun and deciphering what we liked and didn't like about each towel. And then we were able to kind of figure out what our perfect product looked like. So we were working on the product. We were looking for a manufacturer. We were working on the branding, and then just doing a ton of research, kind of talking to anyone and everyone that would talk to us about their towels. Our friends were definitely about to kill us, but friends, people we didn't know, we were sending out surveys and asking people to forward them on and just kind of looking for what we didn't know that people thought about their towels, you know? Mm. And for example, one of the things that came out of that period was our makeup towels. We found that most people wanted white towels, but then they were also complaining about makeup stains.
Yep.
So that was a way that came out of that surveying process, a way for us to combat this while still being able to produce white towels. So then during this time, I got pregnant. And it was while I was literally giving birth that Lindsay went to Germany to a, to a textile show.
Oh my gosh.
She ultimately found our manufacturer there.
Oh my gosh. So Lindsay is off in Germany. You are becoming a mother, and this thing is about to take off. Now, tell me this. Is this the manufacturer in Portugal that she met in Germany?
Yes.
Wow.
Lindsay headed to Germany with the suitcase of towels, our favorite pick. What we liked from each one, what we wanted to change about each one. And she would sit down with manufacturers who, you know, it's very hard to be taken seriously as two young girls with no e-commerce background, no textiles background. But I think it was really clear when she found the factory that we now work with. It's like a wonderful family-owned factory. They understood the towel that we wanted to make. They helped us produce it. Yeah. So the rest is history, as they say.
Oh, I'll say, well, that is amazing and so fun to think about what was going on in your life as well as Lindsay's. What did it look like to begin selling this product? And was there a moment that you guys kind of looked at each other or thought, okay, this is going to be something, this is going to take off? Do you remember a moment like that?
Yeah, definitely. I think Lindsay kind of makes fun of me because we have a Monday morning company-wide meeting. And almost every Monday when we hang up, I call her, Slack her, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this is our company and that all these amazing people work for us.
Aww.
So I feel like I have a lot of little pinch me moments, but definitely the moment that we launched is one I'll never forget. And it was just very surreal because, you know, we had worked so hard for over a year. Really put our heart and soul in it. So many early mornings, so many late nights, so much weekend work. And you have this moment where you're turning on the website and you just never know how people are going to react. Mm. And of course, part of you is scared that it's going to be crickets.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's me and Lindsay and our embroiderer sitting in our warehouse, and we turn on the website and we're just kind of waiting for a reaction, and orders start to roll in. And at first it's all people we recognize, and you think, well, once we get through our friends and family, no one else is going to order. And then names started to roll in of people we didn't recognize. And I think that was a really surreal moment for both of us.
Wow, that is so cool to think about. And for those of you who have your own business, or perhaps you've thought about doing something similar in launching a product, that really is a moment that I've experienced with the podcast as well. When I get comments from people, or I guess the main thing with the podcast would be, you know, an Instagram story from someone tagging the podcast, I'm like, Who is right. this person? Who is this person? So for you guys to see that, it never gets old. And for you guys to see that on, I mean, this is your launch day. I'd love to backtrack a little bit. What did you guys do in preparation for the launch day in regard to PR and in regard to thinking about getting those names in? What was that kind of like for you both?
So we just tried to get the word out as much as possible. So we started with friends and family. Like I said, even during the research phase, just kind of talking to anyone and everyone. And then we just kind of continued that. We were always sending prototypes, looking for feedback. When we had our final towels, we were looking for feedback. So continuing to send stuff to people that we already knew. And then we started with influencers. We would just message them on Instagram and say, hey, we're starting this company. We would love to send you towels and just hear what you think, kind of no strings attached. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of people that just immediately loved the products and were great early supporters. And then same thing with press outlets. We hired a freelance publicist and we kind of tried to do everything as scrappy as we can. Like I said, we didn't raise money.
Yeah.
And she kind of taught us how that all worked. We would just reach out to publications that felt like they made sense for us in the luxury space and the home space, lifestyle, and just say, hey, we're Liz and Lindsay. We're starting this company. Here's the story. We would love to send you product to test out. And I think kind of our like big break was Fast Company. They had an article for our launch, and I think we got a lot of eyeballs for that. So we are definitely forever grateful for that, for Fast Company and Elizabeth Segrin.
Oh, that is so fun to think about as well. And just kind of the preparation. And like you said, being scrappy, being creative, and how can we get the word out? How can we kind of highlight this product and all that we're doing? Now, I'm curious because there's an additional element here that I'm wondering, is Lindsay, do you guys live in the same place at this point?
No. So we've actually never been in the same place.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Surprising. Yeah. I think that's an area that it actually really benefits us that we were friends first, because we just know each other really well and we communicate really quickly and we usually know what the other person's going to say or think. But at this point, she was in New York and I was in Savannah. And now she's since left New York and she's in Atlanta and I'm in Savannah. So we're at least both in Georgia now.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, that's so fun to think about because again, I mentioned this earlier, we're recording in 2020. So the whole element of Zoom and calls and whatnot, that's definitely happening. But I think once things get back to some kind of normality and what you guys were doing before to actually not be in the same place, that's super impressive that you would be able to do all of this without actually being in the same place.
Well, yeah. It's been... At this point, our operation was in Savannah. Like I said, okay. It was an advantage with cheaper warehouse space and being able to find a big space. So the operation was in Savannah. We were importing the towels in Savannah, and then we did all the customization ourselves and still do. So the embroidery operation was in Savannah as well.
Oh my goodness. And I did not realize you guys actually do the embroidery in-house at your location. What does that kind of look like?
So for our launch, that meant that I was learning embroidery. So there's actually a really funny story behind how we found our embroiderer. So like I said, for our launch, it was just me, Lindsay, and our first embroiderer, Manny, who's still with us to this day and is now the head of many embroiderers. Oh. But we kind of called around to every embroiderer under the sun in Savannah. We didn't initially think we were going to do it in-house until we understood more about embroidery and realized that we absolutely had to, just from a margin standpoint and an operation standpoint. And he is someone that I spoke to on the phone. He was running an embroidery operation at the mall. And I just got a really good feeling about him. And one day after we finished working, Lindsay was always in Savannah during these days. I talked her into going to the mall to meet him in person.
Oh my gosh.
And we just got a really great feeling about him. And we started working with him when he wasn't at work on weekends and on evenings. And he was teaching me embroidery. And we were also working with a wonderful woman named Leanne Dodd, who was teaching me embroidery. She owns a store here called Horseshoe Crab. And we eventually talked him into joining us full time. So he was the first person to kind of trust us and join us on this crazy journey. So he's still with us today. I saw him today at the warehouse.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool. It's so fun to think about you guys starting this out. And like you said, him really putting faith and trust in you guys. Now, this is something that I don't think we often think about or maybe talk about. What did it feel like? Because he's leaving his job. So what to come to you, what did that feel like?
I mean, absolutely petrifying. I mean, he was leaving his job and he has three young sons.
Wow.
So I think that was kind of another wow moment. Like, this isn't just about us anymore. We hold other people's livelihoods in our hands. And now, you know, we have a lot of employees and it does feel like a grave responsibility.
Mm, absolutely. Now, how many employees do you guys have now versus the two of you starting?
Let me think. I'm always so bad at this count. So it was three when we started, and now I think we probably have close to 30, including our warehouse and our corporate employees.
Wow.
And that... the warehouse ebbs and flows during our busy cycles. But yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, that's amazing. And the Wheezy team, it shows you guys are proud of what you do. You make great products. People love them. I would love to know, we've highlighted so many amazing moments throughout your career and specifically in Wheezy, but I'd love to know, are there any instances in your career that you'd say failure actually helped shape it?
You know, I think it's back to that moment where I felt like moving to Savannah was so devastating. So it wasn't so much a failure, but I think just that moment felt like it was going to have such a negative impact on my career. And it actually had the opposite. I think, who knows if Wheezy even would have happened if I stayed in New York, because I was on a certain career trajectory where you kind of get golden handcuffs and it's hard and scary to walk away from a paycheck.
Right.
And from certain growth to start a company that you really have no idea how it's going to end up. So I think while it wasn't a failure, it was kind of like a soul crushing moment that ended up being a huge advantage for Wheezy.
You know, and that's very similar to the experience I had in leaving New York as well. And I love what you just said, because it wasn't a failure. At the time, it felt like a failure, but it was actually propelling you into the destiny of Wheezy, which is so cool to think about. And such an encouragement for myself and for my listener, regardless of what stage you are in your life or career, you know, hear Liz out. This big kind of dark cloud of leaving New York felt like the ultimate, here I go, leaving this amazing role and whatnot. But boy, did you have a lot coming your way. And so that's just such an encouragement for me and for anyone who's listening. If you're in a season that feels disorienting, hang in there and be encouraged by Liz's story. Be encouraged by the idea that the best is yet to come, which is evident in your career and life. I'd love.
Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt. I just feel like, you know, when you're so close to moments in your career, it's hard to put together these bigger puzzle pieces. And I think I still feel relatively young. I'm only 32. But even looking back on my career at Uncommon Goods and the preparation I had there and didn't realize at the time, and then at Bustle dealing with the kind of chaos of a startup and learning how to get through building a team, all of these little puzzle pieces that then put together for Wheezy and now make so much sense and did prepare me, you know, I had no idea at the time. So I think about this a lot. Like, no matter what role you're in or what job you have right now, if you just kind of put your head down and work hard and soak in as much as you can and learn as much as you can in every role and just kind of trust in the process, I think you kind of allow yourself to get lucky.
Oh, yeah. And just let's reiterate and step back for a second. You guys, Liz is only 32 and Wheezy is only 2 years old. So this is actually beyond impressive. I am inspired. Liz, we're basically the same age. So I'm like, this is amazing. And for those of you who are listening, like, be encouraged regardless of what age you are, because whether you're young, whether you're older, these are all lessons that are true. Everything that Liz is saying is true. And Liz, you have a really unique perspective, one that I do not yet have. You are a mom. You are a working mother. What did that feel like? I mean, you mentioned Lindsay was actually finding your supplier in Germany when you were giving birth to your first daughter, and I know you now have a second. Tell us a little bit about what it's like to run a business and have these two beautiful daughters.
Yes. I mean, it's nothing short of pure chaos. I think my blessing in disguise is that I've never known Wheezy without at least one child. So luckily I have nothing to compare it to. So it just always kind of has been, something that I've had to juggle. And now Lindsay has a daughter and she's actually, pregnant with her second, a son this time. So it's just, it's kind of always been a part of Wheezy, this juggle. And like I said, it's nothing short of pure chaos, but, I think I love it and I wouldn't change it for the world. I love the juggle because I really enjoy work. I think I love my job and I love my company and I obviously love my family and love my daughters. So I think both sides of it kind of give me a break from the other.
Yes, to be able to step into whichever role is the moment that you need to be in. What encouragement would you give women? Because for someone like me who is not yet a mom, I think about that. I'm like, oh my gosh, my whole life will change in wonderful ways. But what encouragement would you give women who feel like, well, I don't know if I can do it all. I don't know if I can continue with my business that I love. You know, what would you say to a woman who might be fearful of that change or concerned that they won't be able to keep up?
Right. Well, I think first of all, you're capable of so much more than you think you are, especially before you have kids. I think women especially somehow just figure it out.
Yes.
I can't underplay my support system. I have an amazing husband who does half and we have a nanny. We both work full time and have an amazing school. So that support system is everything. And then, you know, you just kind of find a way to make it work. I think kids give you the ultimate gift of perspective. I think I encounter problems at work and, you know, when the other side of your life is literally keeping a little human alive. keeps everything kind of in perspective. And I think there just is no perfect balance, you know, especially when you're a business owner, naturally Wheezy creeps into family time and family time creeps into Wheezy time. And, you know, you just do the best you can and make it work.
Yes. And what do the girls think of the Wheezy products?
I think they're still wrapping their head around it. I have a 6-month-old and an almost 3-year-old. I will say my 3-year-old is quite the towel snob. he likes to pick out her towel. It always ends up being a Wheezy hooded towel. We just launched our kids line. So she loves her robe. She loves her hooded towel. So she is our, you know, our prototype tester all the time. So it's always been a part of her life, which is funny.
Oh my goodness. Well, I know she will grow and continue to learn more about what mom does. And I know she's going to be extremely proud of you and all that you have built, both of your girls. It's so true.
I talk about wanting to go to work. When I drop her off at school, I say, you're going to work and you're kind of going to work and mommy's going to work. You get to go have fun at school and I'm going to go have fun at work.
Oh, that is so cute. And she'll remember that forever. That is so sweet. Oh my goodness. It has been so fun. And again, this is just a little bit of insight into your life and career and all things Wheezy. You guys, we are going to give you the chance to connect with Liz shortly. But I'd love to know, you know, when we talk about your different career, and there's so many different puzzle pieces that have come together for me today that I'm so inspired by. I love this idea of a crash course. You can really kind of do that graduate school work in a job, go in head first and go for it, like you said. I love the side.
I wonder if people that actually went to grad school would roll their eyes at me. But
you know what? Well, they better not. And if you were doing that earlier, don't do that, because I think that's such an encouragement. And you guys, if you're listening and you know you did go to grad school, we are so happy for you and pumped and that's incredible. But at the same time, and anyone would be able to recognize this, you know, that's not going to be an option for everybody. And so to have that encouragement of really honing in and just, I think, you know, the main point there is just to learn as much as you can in whatever role you step into. That's awesome. I totally agree with that. I think that's amazing. And even thinking about you, gosh, stepping into the sleep mask, I mean, you have done so much. And I would really love for my listener to hear from you. You know, what do you think is the greatest lesson that you have learned?
You know, I feel like ever since I started Wheezy, I'm learning a new lesson every week. especially, you know, just, I was an art major. So all of the part about actually running a business and the finance and the number side of things, I've had a huge learning curve. You know, I barely had to take a math class in college. So all of that has been fascinating to actually learn. But I think the biggest lesson I've learned since starting Wheezy is definitely to trust your gut. I think you get better and better at it as you go. But I know in the early days of Wheezy, both Lindsay and I would kind of have an internal red flag or a gut feeling about something and kind of ignore it, whether it be we got advice from someone else or we were just leaning too heavily on an outside source. But I think anytime we did that, we ultimately regretted it. So we've gotten better and better at recognizing when we have a gut reaction to something and really listening to that and going with it. And I think it's just one of those things that practice makes perfect.
Absolutely. And being able to hone in on that decision making, I mean, even like you mentioned earlier, kind of meeting Manny and thinking, okay, this is going to be a good team member, and trusting your gut moving forward with hiring him. And I'm sure there's many examples as you've moved forward and done that, really being able to trust your gut and say, no, this is what's going to be right. This is going to be what is best. I'd love to know too, within that same realm, what are you learning in life now?
Probably what I started with, just a lot of the business side of Wheezy. But like I said, you know, that wasn't my background. I'm the creative director, and it's most of that isn't the area of the business I cover anyways. But when you're a founder, you have to understand it. So I'm still learning a ton about the business side of things, the number side of things, monthly, weekly, daily.
Yes, that would be the area I would be Googling as well. Well, I would love to know from you. And again, you guys, I'm going to give us a chance. I know many of you have already looked up Liz. You're already looking at Wheezy's adorable Instagram. I know. I'm going to give you the chance to connect with her shortly. But I'd love for you to share just really briefly, when we're thinking about, gosh, listeners, and again, we're thinking of you, you've kind of, it's almost as though you've been a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit for some time. What would you say to someone who's listening, who has an idea, has maybe the steps to go for it, but is too fearful or too worried to kind of put themselves out there and do something about it?
Yeah. I know that feeling all too well, but honestly, it's so simple. You just have to start. Just Google a factory. Just start on Google, and it will take you down a rabbit hole, and you'll have one conversation that will lead to another conversation, and you'll learn something every time. And you know, there's really not a secret sauce to it. It's just starting and putting in the hard work. I know that sounds so cliche, but it honestly is true.
No, that's the best. I could not agree more. You guys, take that, take Liz's advice and just get started. If you have a dream, if you have even an inkling, if you even have a thought of moving forward with something, you never know where that first Google search might take you.
True. And then the more people you tell about it, then there's no turning back. I remember, you know, it was just Lindsay and I talking about it. And then once we started to tell outsiders about it, we're like, okay, now we really have to.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love it. That accountability. Go for it. Tell somebody. Oh, I love it. Well, Liz, we know that you always have something going on, whether it's with family, with Wheezy, with the girls. I'd love to know what's next for you.
Yes. Well, specifically with Wheezy, I think in the first 2 years, we've been so focused on soft goods. There were so many things we wanted to launch, from towels to robes to our little Wheezy kids collection. And right now we are working on hard goods. So bathroom accessories, which I am really excited about.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Now what kind of accessories are we talking about, or can you share?
Yeah. So who knows what it will actually end up looking like, but the stuff we're kind of digging into right now are your soap pumps, Kleenex boxes, trash cans, all of that kind of stuff, trays, all of the parts that you would put in your bathroom.
Oh my gosh. Fun
and fresh with a little bit of wheezy flair. So we're very excited about this.
Oh my gosh. You guys are going to monopolize. I'm excited. That's awesome. Liz, that's so cool.
Every space in your bathroom.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Well, that's so exciting. And of course, we will all be staying tuned. Liz, is there anything we didn't cover today that you'd like to?
I don't think so. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Oh, likewise. This has been so much fun. And you are so sweet. Before we started recording, you mentioned you've been able to listen to some of the podcast episodes. I just want to say a quick thank you to you for doing so. Not all of my guests necessarily have the time or are able to do so. And it means so much to me. So...
Yes, I loved it.
Oh, well, you're the best. And so this question, have you listened to an episode? And listeners, you may know what I'm going to ask Liz. I'd love to know, who do you know that should come on and share their how'd she do that story?
Yes, I have two people for you because I couldn't just pick one. but another Savannah-based company, the girls that started Lake Pajamas are amazing and have been such an inspiration to us. So I would definitely hit them up next. And then the founder of Estelle Colored Glassware, you've probably seen it on Instagram because I feel like everywhere I turn, it shows up. But she has the most beautiful hand-blown colored glass. And we just did an interview with her, soon to feature her on our Instagram. But she just has a fascinating story and she would be another great one.
Well, two fantastic recommendations. Thank you so much, Liz. And you guys know I have been teasing this, and I'm sure some of you have already found Wheezy and Liz on Instagram, on social media. But Liz, where can listeners best connect with you?
Yes, on Instagram is perfect. My handle is at Liz M. Eich. So it's LizMeich.
Fantastic.
Short for my last name, which is Eichel.
Fantastic. And then Wheezy, I think is it at Wheezy Towels? Is that right?
Yes, at Wheezy Towels. We love chatting with people on Instagram all day long. So definitely DM us.
Yes, absolutely. And you guys, we cannot wait to hear what you think of this episode. Liz, there are times that I jump on calls with guests and we just click. And I just feel like that was us today. So I so appreciate you. It has been just wonderful. And again, I will have to extend an invitation to you when all this is over and you are in Los Angeles. You'll have to let me know.
I would love that. My husband and I had never been, so we did a little tour of LA and we stayed in different areas and we spent a week there and we just absolutely loved it.
Oh my gosh. Well, you'll have to come back and perhaps I can play hostess in person. That would be amazing.
I would love that.
Well, thank you, Liz, so much for your time today, and we will talk soon.
Thank you so much, Emily.
Thank you all for listening to today's episode of How'd She Do That? I am Emily Landers. You can follow me on Instagram at Emily Landers and the podcast at How'd She Do That Podcast. Please join us next Tuesday for a new episode. We will talk to you soon.